Well, let's open our Bibles. If you have, you know, whatever you have a device or you have a Bible, you know, we have various forms today. But let's open them to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. And as we shared, I want to discuss or present to you what God has to say about adversity and issues and pressure in life. But let's take a look at this scripture here, Isaiah 55 and verse 8 through 11. It says, "For my thoughts," I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, "For my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts." Thank God for that. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Glory to God. The New Living says, he says, "I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." So God's word will not return to him void. As the scripture says, he watches over his word to perform it. He makes it come to pass. Amen. And just jump back a little bit to Isaiah 53 and verse 1. These have been kind of the scriptures that we've been sharing along with these. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. But also Isaiah 55 and verse 1, it says, 53 and verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report?" That's a question mark. Who believed that? Who's believed our report? What's the response? And to whom is what? The arm of the Lord revealed. Glory to God. So let's set this. One other scripture, Luke 18, verse 27 in the New Testament. Luke 18, verse 27. And this scripture, this is Jesus speaking, "The things which are what? Impossible with men are possible with God." Things that are not doable, not possible with men. I like some of the modern translations. The New Living Translation said, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." New Century Version, it says, "God can do things that are not possible for people to do." God, who? God can do things that are not possible for us to pull off. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to know? The Complete Jewish Bible says, "What is impossible humanly is possible with God." Glory to God. So, looking at adversity and pressure, I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, you can turn here to chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, this is in the New Testament, and starting in verse 1, and just kind of giving a little thoughts before we read this scripture, is that when we talk about adversity and pressure, if we just go through the lives of the disciples and the apostles and the Acts of the Apostles, we see extreme pressure and life-threatening situations. So just looking at that, they faced issues. They faced problems. They faced situations in life. And mainly, what was it to do? To stop the gospel, to stop the preaching of the gospel. And that hasn't changed here either today. That pressure and adversity puts us in a place where we have to make a choice whether I'm going to do what? Believe God or fold or do it some other way. But it's really meant to get at your what? Your faith. Faith in God. Faith that God is going to work this out. That's really what adversity and pressure is there to do, is to destroy you, to destroy your witness, to destroy you. Could be extreme enough to destroy you personally, whether it be a business, whether it be your health, whether it be your finances, whether it be your family or your children. It's meant to destroy you and your faith in God. And so we're going to take a look at some scriptures, but you know, when we talk about adversity, where is my answer? My answer is in God, in the Word of God. So when I'm walking through pressure and adversity, my answer is in the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So my answer is in the Word of God. I can never get away from that. You know, we're told to do what? Walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in His Word. We're told to walk by faith and not by sight. So that means I need to walk by the Word of God and not by my situations, things that I see. Things that I see, the Scripture says, are temporary. But the things which we don't see are eternal. So we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So we can see here also, just think about this, that just because you walk by faith doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. You know, some people say, well, I'm walking by faith, so I shouldn't have any problems. You probably have more problems because you decide to believe God. It's probably the truth. You know, you hear some people say, man, I didn't have these kind of problems before I was saved. They just don't remember. They probably were too inebriated to remember. But the minute you were got saved, you know, you all of a sudden you became more aware of issues and problems in life. You probably still had them, but you really weren't aware of them. You see? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and this is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And he's making some points here. He said, wherefore, well, let me read this from the New Living Translation, because it'll read different, but more of a modern feel to it. New Living Translation, it says, finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. See, they were facing extreme adversity and pressure. So he wanted to find out, is their faith still strong? I was afraid, this is what he says, I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. So Paul was writing, and he said a little different in the King James. He said, the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So all the work that he had invested in that church, he didn't want his labor to be in vain. And they were facing extreme pressure. I'm going to read in the King James it says he sent Timotheus, it says, our brother, a minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So he talks about them being confronted with afflictions and this pressure. And he writes in the King James, he said that the word he used, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, or it says we're destined for such problems or troubles. That could sound as if God ordained those problems, but he doesn't ordain problems. He said, Jesus even told us in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh but not for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So God, through Jesus, spoke and said, I'm not here causing your problems. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you life and life more abundantly. So when we read these things, it's more of, you know, the way the writers wrote things, it sounded more like it was causative, but it was really more in the permissive sense. God permitted these things. He didn't cause it. Everybody understand that? So when it says afflictions and these kind of things that were appointed thereunto, God allowed them to happen in their life. He didn't cause it. So it was a permissive sense, the way it was written. And also, remember that things that we walk through, things that we face, or you could use the word suffer, we're not supposed to suffer what Jesus suffered for us. So if he bore my sins and sicknesses, then he took that and he bore that. So why would God send Jesus here to redeem mankind, to suffer and become sin and sickness, and then turn around and put that on us? That would be a sick God. So he's not causing sickness and disease. He's saying here, it's already paid for. Who's the one causing it? It's the devil. So we're to take what we've been redeemed from, not expected to suffer with that. Does everybody understand that? So something that's been suffered for has been paid for through the redemption of Christ. And we're not expected to suffer that. But are we going to walk through things in this earth? Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's scripture that will bear that out. If you're not familiar, we're going to look at them. So the scriptures are very clear that we're going to suffer persecution and tribulation in this earth. But John 16:33, what did Jesus say? He said, in this earth you shall suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. That doesn't sound right, does it? I should be cheerful about that. But Jesus said, be of good cheer because I've overcome it. I've overcome the world. He said, in me you shall have peace. But in this world, he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we are going to walk. If Jesus said, in this world you shall suffer tribulation, guess what? You will. There's no way you're going to get around it. So even walking by faith, you're going to suffer persecution and tribulation for the sake of the gospel, just because you're in him, in Christ. He doesn't hate you. He hates who you represent. He hates the one in you. So we're going to go through some things, right? And always remember, when we walk through things, it depends, how do we handle that? How do we handle the situations that we're walking through? You know, you can either overcome it or it'll overcome you. It depends on how you view it, how you see that issue and that problem. Is God in me bigger than that issue? Or is that issue, you know, I've heard this shared. Big God, little problem. Big problem, little God. So who's big in you? Is the problem real big and then God real tiny to handle it? I don't know. Or is God greater in me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is what? In the world. He's talking about the devil. Greater is he. And so we can see here that how we handle adversity will determine whether it overcomes you or you overcome it. How we handle it. So I heard Minister Joe sharing this scripture this morning, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of some of them. All, it says. He delivereth out of them all. So, yeah. Isn't that good news? So you just have to remind yourself of that when you're walking through it, that I'm destined to walk through this, but I'm not staying here. I'm walking through it. I'm going through this. It's temporary. And I'm coming out on top. Right? You've got to remind yourself that God is bigger. He's the one that made an open show. He defeated the devil. He's defeated. He's a roaring lion. What's the scripture saying, James? Submit yourself, therefore, to what? To God. What does that mean? Submit yourself to the word of God. Resist the devil. It doesn't say have a pity party. Resist him. Resist the situation. And what? He'll flee. He'll flee. He's just making noise. That's all. Making noise. You're bigger. You're greater in God. So John 16:33. Let's look at this here. We were just referencing this scripture, John 16:33. Again, talking about tribulation, because that's what this scripture is referencing. Talking about tribulation and trials. John 16:33. I find the more you meditate on scripture, could just be one verse, you'll see so much in it, so much light in it. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. And it says, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, say in me, who, where are we? We're in him. Now, isn't it interesting here in this scripture, he's comparing what we have in him versus what we have in the world. Isn't it interesting? He said, in me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. So he's showing you that in him, you have peace. You're going to have peace. You might have peace. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. And then what does he say? After that, in the King James, there's a colon. That means whatever, he's still going to continue the thought. But be of good cheer. It doesn't say have a pity party. It just says be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My God. You know, if you just pasted that up on your wall and kept it there, keep it on your refrigerator, because you're going to get up in the morning and life is there, isn't it? But we need to have that up. Sometimes I do. I keep scriptures posted in places. I don't know about you, but it's a good thing to have. Type it out. Do something. Get placards. Put them up on your refrigerator. Put them up on the wall. So that when you're walking around, you go, oh yeah, right. Thank you. I needed to see that today. I needed to remind myself. You know, Brother Hagin shared this. I didn't read it today. But he shared something after 60 plus years of scripture of teaching on healing before he went home to be with the Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23, it says, "My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear," these here in your heart, "incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from what? Your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh." He said this. This was an observation he had after teaching healing for 60 years. He said, "I would have people come to my healing meetings and sit in my meetings for 2 weeks and never bring their Bible." This is what this is an observation he had. They wouldn't bring their Bible. He said they'd listen to the word, and he said they didn't bring their Bible to see it. And he said they never got their healing. He said, "But if I could get them to bring their Bible and to follow along and see it, they'd get healed." And I thought, wow, interesting. Just what the scripture says. Isn't it interesting? So it's not enough. Yes, we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But it's not enough to just hear it. You've got to see it. Why? I don't know why. It's the way God made us. He made us this way. That we have to hear it and see it. So anyways, here, we're talking about, what I was talking about was putting up scripture sayings around your house so that you can not only just hear it, but see it. You see those scriptures and you remind yourself. See, it's the hearing. That's the way we're wired. We're made this way. We hear and we see. God gave you two eyes for a purpose. So, this scripture, I want to point out something because we're talking about tribulation today and pressure and trials. So he says, "In me," this is John 16:33, "in me you might have peace." Now let me ask this question. What is the word that we normally associate with peace? What's the word, the Bible word for peace? Shalom. So he said, "In me you shall have shalom." That word shalom, it means to have well-being, wholeness, prosperousness, soundness. So he said, "In me, you're going to have that." Not tribulation, not problems. He said, "In me, you shall have shalom." But what does he go on to say? He said, "In the world," it doesn't say you shall have shalom. It says, "In the world, you shall have tribulation." Now, issues, problems. But now here's the thing. This word in the Greek for tribulation, it doesn't mean, you know, what we think tribulation is. Let me read what it says. It describes this word, this Greek word, describes a situation so difficult that it causes one to feel stressed, squeezed, pressured, or crushed. It can be translated distress, affliction, or trouble. It indicates a level of intensity that is almost unbearable in the natural. That's what those individuals in the Church of Thessalonica were facing. They were facing things they felt stressed, squeezed, pressured in that society. Why? Because they were preaching the gospel. And it says that the level of intensity was such that it was almost unbearable in the natural. They were. That's why Paul said, I need to send somebody. I need to see if they've given up. I need to see if they're still walking in faith, because I don't want all that I've done to be in vain. Now, we may not be facing that level of intensity of pressure, but there's times that we may go through when Jesus said, in the world, you are going to face tribulation. You are going to face some pressure mentally that's going to squeeze you to the place of going, ugh, I can't take this. You're going to question, you may question whether God's there, whether he's there to help you. You may. Some may face those in certain periods of life where you just are ready to just, I can't take this anymore. It could be health, it could be finances, it could be children, it could be your marriage, all those things in life. Could be a job. You know, you get fired from a job, or everybody on your job is against me. What the heck is going on here? And so those kind of things, this is what this is talking about. Jesus said, in the world, you shall face that. You're going to face that. And so we just need to know how to face that, how to overcome, how to walk through it. He said, be of good cheer. He said, in that, be of good cheer. You go, what? But that's what Jesus said. In that kind of pressure cooker situation, be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome it. So that's what he's saying, right? It just means, another way is, it means to be in a tight place. And that's another way of saying it. We're in a tight spot. How do I get through this? And as we said, it could be, I don't know, we got these bills to pay. I have no idea how we're going to do this. People are calling. I went through that. I went through one time in life. You know, I went through a divorce, wife left me with a bunch of bill collectors calling. I'm trying to do my job at work. Ring, 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 ring. People cursing me. This is back in the 70s. They didn't have the laws that they have now. Back then, they used a lot of different colorful language on the phone. Curse you, you MF this, bop, 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 bop. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to elaborate, but I remember walking through that, and I wasn't as saved as I am now. I'm serious. Because I remember one guy started running his mouth on the phone. I said, excuse me, where are you located? I did. And I said, I'll be right there. And I did. I left the office. Had all good thing I didn't have a gun or a knife. I'm serious. Because I walked through that door, I said, I want to know who just spoke to me on the phone. I did. And I said, I want to know who it is right now. I was hot. Really hot. And so this guy, you know, when you're hot, you're not thinking right. Because I was in debt up to my ears that I didn't cause. And now I'm faced with this, thinking, oh my God, I might be bankrupt. All of this mess I didn't cause this. I'm ticked off. And so now I want to know who was that just spoke to me on the phone. And the guy said, well, we're not going to tell you that. And he said, and then I started running my mouth. And he said, well, we'll just see you in court. And I thought real quick, I ain't got money for a lawyer. How the heck am I going to defend myself in court? I owe them. So I had to, as they say, tuck some things between my legs and back out, because I figured, now just what am I going to do? Get upset and hit somebody and end up in jail. And I'm in worse problems. So we go through these things in life. that things can be thrust upon us that we didn't cause. Things can come in our life we didn't perpetrate it. We didn't cause it. Somebody else did something and foolish, right? And so we're there dealing with it. So how are you going to deal with that? And some of the things that come, they're there. They're right there. And quick. And how are you going to handle that? That's why I say, you know, when I read that scripture in the beginning, love bears up under anything and everything that come. Love does not keep a resentment against anybody. So I had to, in that period of my life, I had to let things go. Because it'd be worse for me than the person that did it. You know, that's why we see in life, you know, people make wrong choices, kill people, they do things out of what? Rage and anger. So you need to find out, you know, how to handle this. Well, we just read that. He said, in me, you're going to have peace, to be of good cheer. And in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So, you know, again, the things that we face in life, they're not meant to make you happy. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. So this word cheer, actually, you know, sometimes we read it, you know, that we don't use words like they did in Old English the way it was written. But this word cheer means to be courageous. It means to have confidence and be confident. So when he said, be of good cheer, it's not saying ha 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 or cheery. No, it's saying be courageous. Be strong. Take courage. That's what he's saying. He's saying, in me you shall have peace, but in the world you're going to have what? Tribulation. But take courage. Be courageous. I've overcome the world. Don't give up. Don't lay down and let this thing take you out. Take courage. That's really what he was saying. Not be happy and joyful, because it ain't. It's not fun. But he's saying, take courage. That's what he meant by be of good cheer. And another way, Rick Renner uses it this way. He said it literally means to be courageous. He said a better meaning would be take heart. You know, we could associate that with it. He said this would be a word spoken to strengthen someone facing a kind of a hardship. Take heart. Take courage. Take heart. So Jesus was literally saying, in this world, you will go through some distressing times, but take heart and be courageous. That's what he's saying. Be of good cheer. Take heart and, you know, take courage. And then when he said overcome, you know, sometimes we look at words, he says, but I have overcome the world. Overcome is really the word victory. But it wasn't a single victory. It's a continuous victory. You see, everybody understand that? It wasn't just a single victory. This is continuous victory over the devil. And when he said, I've overcome the world, this world here, that word is cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. It really means, this is the world, the cosmos that we live in. It means the world, which is where Satan's influence is wielded. So Satan operates, 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, Satan is the god of this world. He's not the god of this earth. He's the god of this world. Satan, always remember this, Satan operates through systems, through world systems. That's why when we look at what are we talking about? World religious systems, world what? Music, television, paper, governments. He operates through systems, education. All of these systems he operates through. What does he do? What do you mean by that? He influences people to disseminate that kind of junk, right? So that when you begin to operate as a Christian in these systems, you're confronted with pressure and tribulation and stuff against you to question you and to say why you believe like that. I mean, they'll try to embarrass you right out of your job and out of your place of business or whatever you're doing. They'll try to confront you where? In these systems. But Jesus said, take courage, I've overcome these systems. I've overcome the world. See? And we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to remind ourselves. You know, I met, when we were out this week, you know, we interact with a bunch of people, men and women from different parts of the world. And there's one gentleman that we know, and he wanted to just say hello, but he's from Germany. He's from the, you know, Berlin area. You wouldn't know it. I mean, if you speak, his English is perfect. You don't even hear an accent. But he was sharing something with us. I said, oh, your wife and children aren't here with you? He said, no, they got to go. He said, they're back home. He said, they have to go to school. He said, I can't take them out of school. Now, this is interesting. Now, he's a Christian, a director over some of the schools, and a pastor in Berlin. But he said, in that country, if you take your children out of school and you don't have a good enough excuse, he said, the police will be at your door and take your children. And he said that if you confront that, he said, they'll take them and arrest you. This is elementary school. School. So there's some things, you know, when we look at freedoms that we have, you know, in some countries, it's not that way. It is just not that way, see? Now, I'm not advocating that. That's probably, in some ways, that we used to have that back in the early 60s and 70s. You had truant officers that go around and say, where's your children? And then find out, where are they, right? Now, they didn't arrest you, but they check up on you. Where are they, you know? So there are some things that aren't bad, but you know, that's taken it to the extreme, you see. So think about those things when we talk about 1 John. Let's turn over real quick here to Romans chapter 5. Talking about this tribulations and trials that we face in life, Romans chapter 5. And starting in verse 1, I'm going to look at the first few verses here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, therefore, being justified, or you could say righteous or made right with God, how? By faith. Now, isn't this interesting here? And I'm going to look at this compared to John 16 and here, right, in this scripture. It says, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace, shalom, with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, or by Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and do what? And rejoice. Have cheer in hope of the glory of God. Now look at this. And not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. Have good cheer. Right in the middle of the mess. He's saying here, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This word tribulation, or tribulations, when he said here, we glory in tribulations, is the exact same word and meaning that's used in John 16, and also Thessalonians chapter 3. Afflictions, when it talked about having afflictions, and Jesus said tribulations. It's the exact same meaning. He's saying here, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Meaning, right in the middle of the pressure cooker, he's saying, we have glory. This is what Paul is saying to the church at Rome. So. Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So we're getting down here. I want to close with this. We're getting at how do we handle tribulation? You know, the scripture also says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, whosoever is born of God, what? Overcometh the world. The world. We're talking about in him we have peace, in the world we'll have tribulation. And Jesus said, but be of good cheer, take courage, I've overcome the world. I'm in him. That's what he's saying here in 1 John 5, 4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So by faith in him, we're going to overcome these situations. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. We're talking about tribulation, trials, and problems. Verse 3, it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and what? The God of all comfort, who does what? Comforteth us in all our tribulations. There it is again. That word tribulation is the same exact word that's used in all these scriptures that we've referenced. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, John 16, 2 Corinthians right here. He's saying, the God of all comfort comforteth us in this stressful pressure cooker situation. He's saying, I comfort you. Now, you can choose to believe that or not. Those are the kind of scriptures you need to paste on your wall. Thank you, Lord. You said you comfort me in this, so I receive your comfort. I receive it. And that's what he said, who comfort us, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in this situation, in this tribulation. That what? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's this pressure where we're feeling squeezed and pressured and crushed. He's saying, God comforts us in this. He's the God of all comfort. Amen. Now, I just close with this thought. How does God comfort us in this situation? How does he comfort us? Well, I'll give you, let's take a look at John. Gospel of John, and let's take a look at, I believe, John 14, and let's look at verse 16, because before Jesus left, his disciples, you know, they didn't want him to leave. And he said, if I go not away, he said, I can't send you another comforter. So that's how he's the God of all comfort. But remember, God has, what are we talking about? God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So he comforts us. So he is the God of all comfort. And so in verse 16, in John 14, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you," how? "Forever." So the Holy Spirit is there to do what? Comfort us in all these tribulations that we face. And we just need to recognize his presence. And how do we do that? You thank him. Say, "Thank you for being here. Thank you." You know, if you're married and you never say hello to one another, you know, how do you establish a relationship? You talk, you communicate. "Thank you. Hi, good morning. Good night. I love you. Thank you." You know, all of these kind of little things that we're supposed to do that maybe we don't do. You know, I said "I love you" 5 years ago. That was enough. No, you need to say it every day. You need to be thankful every day, you know, thankful. So how do we show appreciation of the one who lives? I mean, you're living with your spouse. He's living in you. So you need to wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in me. Thank you. I know you. I know your voice." What does he say in the Gospels? He said, "My sheep know my voice." You may say, "Well, you don't talk to me." Well, who's the liar then? He said, "Let every man be a liar and let God be true." So he speaks to us. Now, we all notice, and that's why I started this message off. If he said he speaks to us, then I don't need to be far away from the truth. You know, positioning is everything, isn't it? You know, if I position myself further away from something, then it's harder for me to hear. If I position myself, you know, you just think about this. If you position yourself way out in the middle of the woods, you may not pick up something on a radio. Well, that's not necessarily true today. We have satellite, but you get my point. The further you are away from something, it's harder to hear. So if you're closer to the truth, you position yourself closer and closer and closer to God, it's easier to hear him. It's easier to sense his presence. So how do you instill that? You say, "Good morning." He's in you. He never sleeps or slumbers. So it could be 2 a.m. You ain't got your eyes open. "Thank you, Lord, for being here." So you just begin to recognize him and say, "Thank you. Thank you for being here and helping me walk through this tough period of our life as a family, as an individual. Thank you. Thank you for comforting me. Thank you for seeing me through. Thank you for giving me the wisdom to know the choices we need to make as a family. Thank you." And it may not feel comfortable, but I can tell you, when you least expect it, he's going to tell you what to do. He'll show you what to do. And you need to make the right choices. And the only way you're going to do that is to begin to acknowledge the Comforter. He's there. The Amplified said, "He's our helper, he's our standby, he's our comforter, he's there to help and guide us." You know, Jesus said, "I need to send you another comforter." Think about that. Jesus physically was on the earth guiding people, telling them, helping them, right? Well, he said, I need to go away, but I don't want to leave you in the state you're in. Because he knew we needed help, right? We need guidance and comforting and help in certain areas. The scripture also said in the Amplified, he's our advocate. So he knew that. So he said, "I need to send you another comforter, another helper to help you navigate these things in life," right? And so it's just good to develop that by just saying, "Thank you, hello, good morning, thank you for being in me, thank you for helping me today, thank you as I go to work, I'll know what to do, what to say, I do that. I just, out of faith, I may have no idea what direction or what to teach. I'm sitting there blank going, okay, I don't know where to go today. And you just begin to, by faith, you say, thank you, Lord, for showing me what to teach. Thank you for showing me what to do. Thank you for showing me how to spend my money so I don't be a fool with it. Thank you for showing me what to eat. Thank you for so that this body runs right. Thank you for how to invest my money so I don't lose it. Thank you for knowing what to do in life. That's asking for help. That's humbling ourselves. You know, when it talks about in James, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to God. That's submitting yourself. Acknowledging that he knows more than you do. You know, that his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. You submit to him, acknowledge him, and guess what? You keep the door open and he'll help you. Every step of the way. You won't have to bump through life. Isn't that good to know? So we're going to face these tribulations. We're going to face afflictions. But just one last scripture here. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Here's another scripture that talks about afflictions and reproaches and stuff. But it follows up with Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation because sometimes it just reads better. I'm going to read this. Starting in verse 32 in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew that there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So verse 35. So do not throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. That's one of the scripture in the King James says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And then it goes on, says, for you have patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will, then you will receive all that he has promised. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, we're going to face things, but don't cast your confidence away in God. Don't cast your confidence away in the Lord. It says, but what? Be confident. He said, because there's a great recompense of reward, and so we have need of patience. So we're going to, as we're sharing, we're going to walk through things in life. We don't need to walk through the things that Jesus suffered for us. But the tribulations that we're going to face in this earth, Jesus said, you shall face them. You're going to walk through them. But be of good cheer, I've overcome it. And he said, I need to go away so I can send you what? Another comforter. And I'll comfort you in these tribulations. The God of all comfort will comfort us. So remember these things as you walk through it. Walk through it with the right attitude. Walk through it with the right countenance, the right attitude. Don't say, oh God, we're going down. No, praise God, we're going up and over. And I'm walking through this. Amen. This is not taking me out. I'm going over. And it may feel like you're going out. It may feel like you're going under. But you've got to have what? Trust in God that he'll see you through it. He'll walk you through it, and you're going to come out on top. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. As always, remember, you know, it's great to reflect and say, in Hebrews, when it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's good to reflect. Sometimes it's good to keep a journal. And when I say that, I'm saying it in this way. Keep a journal of those faith victories that you've had. And say, he did it for me there. He did it for me here. He did it for me here. He did it for me here. I do, because there's times when my mind is going squirrely and I'm thinking, eh. And then the Holy Spirit will say, yeah, but what about this and this and this and this? And I go, yes. And I do what? Be of good cheer. Take courage. Take courage. He did it then. He'll do it again. He's going to see me right through this. I don't feel like it, but bless God, I'm going right through it. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Take heart. Take courage. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, there it is. That's it. We got the young cheering squad there. Yeah. Praise God. I know you get the point, but it's good to be reminded that sometimes when we face difficulties, we need to be reminded by others, and we need to remind ourselves. And that's why it's good to put up scripture, keep a journal. When those things go on, I do it more often than I realize. Things that I remember. I mean, I was going home one day, and I was just, you know, sometimes you just get weighed down with something. And I was thinking about something in the ministry. It was financial. And just, and he said, yeah, but what about this and this and this? And I said, yeah, I was shouting. Because he had to remind me, yeah, but I did it then. And I did it then. And I did it then. Why am I not going to do it now? You just need to have patience. You just need to have patience. It's coming. And that's why it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, for you have great recompense and reward. You have need of patience. Don't give up. Take courage. He's working right in the middle of this. Right? Right in the middle. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you that you never change. You said in the book of James, you're without variableness or shadow of turning. You don't change. And so we're grateful. If you said it in your word, then it's so. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. And so we're so grateful that we can walk and face the tribulations and pressures of life. And we thank you that you're there to comfort us, to give us wisdom, to know how to make the right choices so we don't get swamped or taken out. We thank you for it. Thank you for encouraging our hearts. Thank you that the devil is defeated. And we thank you that he has no power to take us out of this earth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.